VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, many times we look at issues from a very broad perspective, matters that are impacting our world or matters impacting the nation or matters impacting the church. But today on the broadcast, we're going to discuss matters that impact us as individuals. I mean, have you ever wondered, why me, Lord? Why am I going through this trial? Why am I having to endure this struggle? Are you there? Do you know what I'm going through? Are you listening? Have you ever felt like that? Why do we suffer? Why do we go through difficult times? You might be in the throes of a struggle or trial right now, and we're hoping that you can just set aside whatever you're working on and just take time to listen and take in the things that will be shared on today's program as we talk about God's purpose for suffering. Joining us in studio today, we welcome Dr. Les Olala, who is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders. It's a ministry that emphasizes servant leadership to pastors, churches, colleges, and other Christian ministries. He's a former Bible college president and has also previously served many years in the pastorate and has been involved in evangelistic and revival ministries. He's a member of our board of directors of VCY America. Dr. Olala, good to have you here today.
It's always so good to be with you, Jim, and to talk on the topic that causes all of us many times to wonder where we are.
Some people think that as long as I'm obedient to do what God wants me to do, as long as I'm faithfully going to church, as long as I'm having my devotions, I will escape suffering. True or false?
Well, obviously that is false. And interestingly, I was reading early this morning in the book of Luke, and it was where John the Baptist sent the disciples, said, go and ask Jesus, is he the one we were looking for, or should we be looking for someone else? John was in prison, John the Baptist. And Jesus said, go and tell John that the dead are being raised, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. In other words, I don't think John the Baptist had tested his faith. I think he was wondering, what is happening to me? I didn't expect this is where I would end up. And I think Satan takes to turn us aside from trusting God completely. Like I say, I don't think John the Baptist weakened his faith, but I think it made him wonder, what was he right or wrong in following God's commandments on that? So even John the Baptist, who was evidently clearly God's man for God's time in God's place, was going through what I think was a time of testing through trouble and through suffering that he was going through.
We're going to be taking a look at God's purpose for suffering today, but what drew you to the subject? What caused you to delve into this?
Well, interestingly, I had preached many times on Psalm 77 or passages of depression, where the leader, Asaph, the leader of praise and worship of the nation of Israel, went into deep depression. And but I had never spoken on the topic of suffering. And in this winter, I started developing a back problem and ended up not being able to walk for about 4 months. There was excruciating pain, and I'm not going to get into the details of that, but it was a time of physical suffering that I was going through. And the president of Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, was having me come in to do in-service training with their staff. And he said, would you preach on the topic of suffering? I said, well, I've never done a message only on that, but I will look into that. So I went in the scriptures and looked at what would be the pictures of suffering. Why would God allow that? And I came up with three different things that I thought would summarize, in essence, why God allows suffering in our lives. And so that's really what got me into the topic this winter.
Well, we're going to delve into this here. And friends, again, you might be in the throes of suffering over some issues right now. It may be physical, it may be financial, it may be spiritual issues that are challenging you right now. And we're going to look at three different reasons for suffering. And Dr. Ola, you've developed these. And the first one you mentioned is suffering for the cause of Christ. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that is one of the most obvious lessons on suffering in the scriptures. And Jesus said very clearly when he gave his last instruction in the upper room discourse, mm-hmm. in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, on a few occasions, he told them the world would hate them, they would suffer, they would be persecuted for the cause of Christ. In fact, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 23, I read this morning, "Blessed is he who not is offended in me." But then he goes on speaking that in Luke 6:22, "they will hate you for the Son of Man's sake." In other words, our identification with the person of Jesus Christ will get a lot of hatred in a world that is going away from God's absolute truth. And I think it goes back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. We see the first mention of the gospel. It's called the Protoevangelium. And God told Satan, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel." And I told my wife many times in the last few years, I said, what we're seeing happening in the world is Genesis 3:15 going in high gear. Mm-hmm. And I think from there, Satan hates babies. I mean, you trace the killing of babies throughout Scripture, and Satan was always motivated in the killing of babies, right from Moses in the basket, the attempt, and all the way through till the 60 million plus babies killed in the womb today. I think Satan hates babies, and we see that the believers then would be suffering in that context. But I think it goes back to Genesis 3:15, where the attack would be on the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, if we identify today, and it's becoming way more obvious in the United States today than we have ever seen it, other countries have faced that, but now you identify with the name of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. it makes a very, very, it draws a straight line of either identifying or hating the person of Christ. And that people are not offended at the mention of God, but when it comes to the name of Jesus Christ and we identify with his cause, it becomes evident that that is a clear point of hatred. And that seemed to draw the line.
And we saw that with the apostles, I mean, who were beaten on behalf because of the name of Christ. They would not cease preaching Jesus. And it was that name of Jesus that was the offense. So is the case today, in which many don't want the name of Jesus. Allah? Okay, you can say Allah all you want. Allahu Akbar, they yell out. Allah is greater. But it's the name of Jesus that is the offense, and believers have suffered on account of claiming his name.
Well, Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. We are called to identify with him, and along with that identification, we'll suffer. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
There's another verse, Philippians 1:29, "For unto you is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer
for his sake."
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that we really have not known a lot in the United States of America, but it is something that I think is very quickly coming to a head, where we who identify with Jesus Christ will end up under the persecution and suffering that will come along with that. And God will give us grace for that, but I think we need to be braced.
We do see illustrations in Scripture of this as well. Stephen was one, was he not?
Yeah, you look at Stephen, here he was one of the first deacons, and yet, interestingly enough, Saul of Tarsus appears to be the one who is in charge of his martyrdom. And he watched the cloaks, which was an indication that he probably was the one who was overseeing the stoning of Stephen. And all Stephen did was gave a good Hebrew history lesson, but he made the mistake of applying it to the hearers, and the boulders came flying. And I think that put Saul of Tarsus under deeper conviction, which eventually led to his conversion on the road to Damascus, because he left there and went straight to the officials in Jerusalem and took papers heading north toward Damascus to imprison, kill more Christians, and to imprison and beat. And then Christ intersected the life. And, of course, he became the greatest evangelist ever and greatest church planner as well.
Amen. Well, we see that of Stephen. We also have many illustrations from Hebrews chapter 11. We view that as being the great hall of faith, but it's not a chapter of Bible without suffering, is it?
No. In fact, interesting, God said, of whom the world was not worthy. I mean, these people who suffered, dragged to death, sawed in half, just persecuted to their death, including all the disciples except John, who was dipped in a vat of boiling oil, suffered greatly, but the rest suffered martyrdom. And they were handpicked by the Lord Jesus Christ to give the gospel.
Dr. Les Olala with us here today. We're talking about God's purpose for suffering, the first one being suffering for the cause of Christ. And of course, much scripture here. We looked at Stephen, some of the heroes of the faith too in Hebrews chapter 11. But there's also a second reason that you have given, and that is suffering for consequences of choices.
Yeah, we could speak for 2 hours on the first topic, but this one, suffering for the consequence of choices. There is some suffering that we bring on ourselves, and there is a sowing and a reaping principle. And when we look at Lot as an example, here he ends up in Genesis chapter 19, living in a cave with his two daughters, who in a drunken stupor impregnated his two daughters, fathered Amnon and Moab, who became the head of the Moabites and Ammonites, two nations that grew up to hate God. And he suffered greatly, even though New Testament indicates that he was a man of God, grieved in his spirit by what he saw going on, but he chose. And interesting, when his father died, Abraham, his uncle, took him under his wing, made sure that Lot got everything coming to him. And here we find Abraham taking him, and then they became both so prosperous that their herdsmen began to fight, and Abraham went to Lot. It should have been the other way around. And Abraham goes to Lot and says, Lot, you take the land that you want. I will take what is left. And it should have been the other way around. I mean, Abraham, the one who got Lot set up for that. But it says, and Lot lifted his eyes to the well-watered plains. So he lifted his eyes, and Lot chose. He chose the well-watered plains. Interesting phrase there, like the land of Egypt.
Now, tell you what, we're going to pick up with Lot after the break here. Dr. Les Olala with us today here in Crosstalk. God's purpose for suffering, looking right now at the point of suffering for consequences of choices. So what about the consequences Lot faced? Well, more on that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is it true that the Archaeopteryx was the transition between reptiles and birds?
Chris, it's very popular to say these days that dinosaurs evolved into birds, but this doesn't square with the evidence. Evolutionists claim the ancestor of the birds is Archaeopteryx, a fossil with some features of dinosaurs and some of birds. Now, even though I would question their claim about Archaeopteryx, it's still dated at 30 million years older than the dinosaur. Obviously, the dinosaurs were not its ancestor. Even most evolutionists have given up on Archaeopteryx. It looks like they were separate right from the start. Of course, that's what the Bible says. Back in Genesis, we read that birds were created on day 5 of creation week and land animals like dinosaurs on day 6. Evolution has it backwards.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, as we cover many issues, rarely do we get into some of these issues that we face as individuals, and suffering is one of those issues. Why do the righteous suffer? I mean, what is God's purpose for suffering? We're talking today with Dr. Les Olala, who is founder and director of Building Great Leaders, a ministry that emphasizes servant leadership as he goes to speak to pastors, churches, colleges, Bible conferences. And we're in this topic of knowing God's purpose for suffering. We covered the first main point of suffering for the cause of Christ, but there's also that of suffering as a result of consequences of choices. We reap what we sow, is what he mentioned here in the last segment, and right now we're engaged in looking at some examples, one of which is Lot. And you mentioned, Dr. Olala, that he is one that saw these well-watered plains. That's what he wanted, and that's what he got.
Yeah, Abraham gave him the option, and it says he lifted, which is step number one he chose, and he chose the well-watered plains. But interesting, it was like the land of Egypt. How did he know what Egypt looked like? Hmm. And Abraham, in that lack of faith step that he took, for a brief time in unbelief, went to Egypt for protection and provision and quickly realized that was a wrong move. But Lot with him got a taste of what he saw in Egypt, and I think it affected the choice that he had made. How careful we need to be as parents. What are we exposing our children to that will set a taste for them, that will make a very bad choice down the road? We have to be very, very careful that way. And so Lot chose the well-watered plains, like the land of Egypt, and Lot pitched. What became a gaze, became a choice, became a lifestyle. And you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. There came the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes to rescue his family. His wife is turned into a pillar of salt. He escapes with two daughters. The sons-in-laws laughed at him when he said judgment was coming. And he ends up escaping with these two daughters. Would not even live in the city, went up into a cave and lived with them in the cave. And you see the devastating consequence. Of course, long term, and you look at God's amazing grace, from the Moabites came Ruth, who in turn ended up in the line of the Messiah, which is God's rescue. Good lesson. We're never a lost cause when God's grace is at work. And so we see that as an example. And the suffering didn't end.
No, it did not. Let's look at another example, though, and that is Achan. We're introduced to him in the book of Joshua.
Yeah, he had clear instruction that God gave. Don't keep the spoil. It belonged to God, really.
Which we're referring to Jericho.
Yes, Jericho, when they conquered the city of Jericho. And Lot, same, he saw, I took, I hid, I buried it. Same progression. What you see, you begin to want. What you begin to want, you begin to choose. You begin to choose, you begin to lose. And that's what happened in that case. And interesting, God lined up all the men. The Spirit of God worked, and Joshua then went to each one. Glorify God in what you've done. Very interesting statement to me, how he approached each of these fathers. Glorify God in what you've done. Glorify God. And he came to Achan, and Achan said, I can't. I saw, I lusted, I took, I hid. And it wasn't a slap on the wrist.
No.
God says, okay, the whole family was stoned. Can you imagine a dad watching his family stoned to death for that choice? Because he wanted something that God ordered him not to have. And it's hard, But yet it's realism that when we make a choice to go against the clear will of God, there is going to be a consequence of that choice. And Achan paid an awesome price.
Dr. Les Oliva with us here today in Crosstalk, and that second purpose for suffering is consequences of choices. And there are many, many throughout Scripture. But for time's sake, we're going to move on to a third reason here, and that is the third reason for suffering is suffering for the conformity to Christ. Now, that might catch some people off guard here.
Yeah, I think when you, well, I broke that down into three different areas. One of is for conformity to Christ, first of all, to see his loving purpose as a father. In fact, if we looked in Hebrews chapter 12, we see the progression of what God has in mind for us. What we have to understand is that God has in mind for us conformity to his Son. We like to quote Romans 8, 28, 29 and following, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom it did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, who is the firstborn among many. He, the firstborn among many, that is us, who will then also experience the suffering that he experienced. Interesting, Romans chapter 8 is the greatest chapter on security in the Bible. Begins with no condemnation, ends with no separation, and right in the middle of it is suffering. And to me, that's a great pivot point because that's identifying us with Christ. And what was the purpose of that? Conformity to his Son. When we look in Hebrews chapter 12, there are three responses to God's loving hand of correction for us as his children. And he said in verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not?" So we see three responses to suffering. Number one, I can despise it. Well, if God is bringing a correction into my life to bring a shaping of my life, I can despise it. I can faint. I can say, I give up. I quit there, it says in verse 5, or faint. Or I can endure in verse 7. In other words, I'm in the middle of this, and if I'm ultimately going to see God's purpose in this, I must endure through this. Because it is God's loving, shaping hand that is working on me. I think many of the things that we go through in life drive us to him. When some of the most painful things that we go through, as my wife and I, as we've gone through painful things throughout our life, they've driven us to him, which leads to a greater conformity and a gratefulness that comes out of the out of his perfect will for us. And so those are the kind of things that can lead to either quitting, resisting, getting bitter, or saying, God, thank you for how you are working to shape that in my life.
There's also this aspect of correction from God, and sometimes correction doesn't seem pleasant, but there's actually fruit that comes about as from that correction.
Right. I think we experience that regularly. You know, God loves us so perfectly that if he sees we are not in conformity and growing in that conformity, I think he brings little things into our life because of his great love to us, that we don't wander too far away from what he wants for us, because he wants to show that love to us continually. And he says in verse 10 of Hebrews 12, "For verily, for a few days, chastened us like for our fathers, our human fathers, chastened us after their own pleasure. But God for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So he says, I put you through this for your own good. And then I put you through this that you might share his holiness. Why? How would that happen? Because I can, if I don't resist, if I don't faint, and I endure, God is growing me now into the fact that now I see his loving purpose in shaping me. I always counsel myself. I would draw God up here, and I'd draw a stick man down here myself, and then I would put an arrow over to the right, and that arrow was God's purpose for me, and that purpose was to be glorifying him. How do I do that? By reflecting that fruit of the Spirit. So I'd list the fruit of the Spirit in one column, and then that's the pattern God is perfecting. Left column, I would put the problems God is correcting. So as I look at this, I would say, okay, here's the pattern. Here are the problems. And normally I would discover that the pattern he is perfecting was just the opposite of the problem that was in my life that he was correcting. So I would say, okay, Lord, thank you for allowing that to come into my life. And I would draw an arrow going towards that ultimate purpose. And in the middle of it, I would put a project. And I've often said, God's children do not have problems. They have projects. And one man told me, I don't know what you have, Brother Les, but I have problems. I said, I do too, until I restate it as a project. Mm-hmm. But what is the project? He allowed this to come in. What God doesn't cause, God will use. And that using it, if it's my step of disobedience or my step of wandering from him, what he didn't cause, he will use to reveal to me my great needs, that there are problems in my life that he is correcting. And so I'd use my little personal counseling chart. I'd say, okay, Lord, thank you for showing me that I don't have the love I need or the joy and the peace. If I'm unhappy, if I'm not joyful, is it because that I am looking to wrong things for joy and happiness instead of finding my total fulfillment in him? And so that's how I would go through that. And then I would say, thank you, Lord, for that project you brought in. And no matter what's in that circle, it might be a divorce. It might be a hurting child. It might be some other bad news you get from the doctor. And you say, okay, Lord, that's not beyond your control. That is in your control. And you trusted me to have that in my life. And I want to reflect that fruit of the Spirit. And whatever problem you're correcting, thank you for loving me that much to reveal that to me, that I am wandering from that.
Well, Scripture talks about it yielding that perfect fruit of righteousness, does it not?
Yeah, it is. That's really what it's talking about. So when you look at the peaceable fruit of righteousness, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seems joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And we see that it's leading to that very thing. That's God's ultimate will for us, that we would walk in holiness and love.
Sanctification as well.
Yes, sanctification. That's really what we see down there in verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. That's the sanctification aspect. That's what God is ultimately leading to. When we get saved, we begin our sanctification process.
Dr. Les Olalo with us here today on Crosstalk, addressing the issue, God's purpose for suffering. We'll have a little bit more information to share after the break, so stay with us, and we'll also have a time on the phones today, so be preparing the questions that you have for Dr. Olalo as well. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For over 200 years, the American judicial system has upheld a standard so strong that a person's very life can be ended based on this level of confidence. It is a verdict supported by evidence that is beyond a reasonable doubt. Did you know there is evidence demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that we have a creator? Most are unaware because it has been censored from textbooks. But now you can have this information at your fingertips. In the beautifully illustrated hardcover book, Have You Considered? Evidence Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Bruce Malone and Julie Von Vett provide a series of unique devotions presenting evidence for every day of the year that points to the Creator. Evidence from biology, paleontology, botany, anatomy, and other scientific disciplines. Have You Considered is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, God's Purpose for Suffering. Have you felt that way? Why am I going through this? Lord, do you understand? Why am I experiencing this trial? And we're looking at some of the reasons why we suffer. Suffering for the cause of Christ. Suffering on account of consequences of choices we've made. And we're in that third point right now of suffering for conformity to Christ. We've already talked about to seeing God's loving purpose as a father, his correction and finding fruit from that correction, sharing his holiness, that peaceable fruit of righteousness, and of course, sanctification. But Dr. Olala, we also find something else from the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Corinthians about why we go through hard times. It may not necessarily be for our benefit, but for the benefit of others.
Yeah, I think that's what's very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 4, it says, verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For the sufferings of Christ aboundeth in us, so our consolation aboundeth in Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we are comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. And the hope of you is steadfast, knowing that if you are partakers of the suffering, you shall also be of the consolation." And I think one of the most beneficial things of going through deep waters is being able to minister to others who are going through deep waters. Mm-hmm. Who can help a widow most? Who can help a widower most? It's going to be someone who has walked through that valley. Somebody loses a child. Who's going to help that person? A pastor can go and say, I'll pray with you, but who really helps? It's the one who has been through that valley and proven God's grace sufficient for that trial. And when it says that God provides grace and comfort to others, and we are to be in that role. You remember, I think probably last year sometime we did something on what do you do when normal is gone. Mm-hmm. And when normal is gone, the phone rings and you get news and normal is no more. And you acknowledge it's true. It takes a while. Then you accept it. Some never accept it and die bitter. They never accept the fact that God allowed that. They question God till the time of their last breath. But then the third point is adapt. And I think this is what this point is illustrating. You create a new normal and make a ministry out of that new normal. We're not going back. Some of the things that Charlene and I went through years ago, I mean, I'm talking 33 years ago plus, I'm still getting phone calls as of a week ago from people who are going through those same waters and said, "Les, you experienced this. What do you recommend here? How do we handle this? How do we do these things?" And it's been an ongoing ministry from some of our deepest disappointments that God brought his glory out of all of that. And so we see the provision of his grace for our profit to be able to help others in that same deep water.
And then the final point here is to supply believers with power to overcome.
Yeah, and we see three things active here. We see the Word of God, we see the prayer, and the Holy Spirit. When I went through the suffering with my back and I was not able to walk for about 3 months, my wife says 4 months, the pain was so excruciating. I had no alternative left but to cry out to God. Hmm. And the word of God became very precious. Particularly, I focused on Philippians 4, where it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." The word of God, many other passages were very, very helpful in that way as well, where we see the word of God was active in those particular things. But I remember very clearly seeing the instruction, "With thanksgiving, let your request be made." And I said, "God, I'm thanking you for this. I would appreciate relief, but I am not complaining. I'm just reporting." You know, many times we don't complain to God. We report like he doesn't know this is going on.
Right.
And I said, "God, I'm just so thankful for you having this, because you have another thing for me to do that would be a reflection of your glory and your purpose in this." And the answer to prayer was the next thing, that it was so clear. My wife went back. We hadn't slept in several nights, and she said, I'm going back to lay down. We were down in Iowa. And I said, "I'm going to stay in the living room and pray." And I said, "God, specifically, I'm asking you, give me a path forward here." Because I had the MRI. I had gone to a pain clinic, and the pain doctor, after the second visit, said, "I'm not giving you a shot. You need surgery ASAP, and the shot will do you no good." And so now I'm back to square one. Where do you find a skilled neurosurgeon that was able to help with the need that I had? I prayed, said, "God, show me somebody today, something today." And 8 o'clock that night, I got a call from the most skilled neurosurgeon in the whole Southeast and said, "Hi, my name is Dr. Mina. How can I help you?" 8 o'clock Saturday night, I said, "You think you can help me?" And she said, "Absolutely. I need to see the MRI pictures." And so Charlene overnighted them. She got them the next day, read them, and called me back, said, "How soon can you get here to South Carolina?" And it was specific, but I cried out literally. I mean, the pain was so excruciating, you couldn't even describe it. And I found out that I had an arthritic cyst growing in the center of my spine. I had no knowledge of that. Could have easily turned septic. It could have easily, I could have been gone in just a few days. But the Lord specifically answered. So the word caused my heart to praise. The prayer caused the crying out. And then the Holy Spirit was the comforter. Have you ever, all you could do sometimes is say, oh God. And that groaning is perfectly translated by the Holy Spirit through this Son, the intercessor, to the Father, is a perfectly presented request. And Romans 8 makes that very plain. The Spirit himself makes intercessions for with groanings which cannot be uttered. Yeah. And I think we've been through times, and this was certainly a time of just groaning. I could do nothing else. And those are the three. The power to overcome, the Word of God, the prayer, and the Holy Spirit, who is indwelling every believer. That power is there within us. And the psalmist says, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I forget not your law." He said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has comforted me, has made me alive, has quickened me." I mean, you go through Psalm 119,
yeah,
and it's just packed with the promises of what the Word of God will do in prayer. You could go a long time on every one of these points, but I think the third point to me is really the key, that God wants us conformed to the image of his Son. And if suffering is what will get us to that point, that's what he allows because of his perfect love.
Dr. Les Olillo with us here today on Crosstalk, and we're going to open our phone lines here. If you have a question you'd like to ask, perhaps something he said, spark to question your mind or you're dealing with an issue right now and looking for some guidance, God's Purpose for Suffering, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Yes, so often we deal with the matters impacting us as a nation or our church, but today we're looking at matters that are impacting us as individuals, and suffering is one of those things that we experience. And why do righteous suffer? Why do we go through difficult times? And we trust that this brief study is something that has been a help and encouragement to you. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. By the way, let me mention Dr. Olala's website with Building Great Leaders. It's bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. You'll find he does speak to another number of conferences and various settings and churches and so forth, bgleaders.org. And by the way, he also has a number of courses that he has taught at the VCY Bible Institute. It's online, free of charge, online Bible classes with Dr. Olala. You can go to vcybible.org, vcybible.org. We'll also be giving you a phone number a little bit later in the program as well, but right now let's go to the calls. By the way, I have a couple open lines, 800-733-9829. We've got David, who is calling in from Zanesville, Ohio. David, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. My question was with John the Baptist in his suffering with, is he the one, or should we wait for another? John's question was in regards to the prophecies in regards to the suffering servant and the conquering king.
Yes.
The Jewish people at that time did not know whether or not Jesus, Yeshua, was the one to fulfill both sets of prophecies, or if God himself, God our Father, was going to send two messiahs to fulfill both sets of prophecies of the suffering servant or the conquering king.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's why Jesus answered the way he did. Just tell John what you're seeing. And that settled his mind that he is the one.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. We've got Carl calling from Lubbock, Texas. Carl, you're on the air.
Yeah. How you doing, Jim? I was just going to share that my wife had just suffering from stage 4 throat cancer, and God has healed her, and it's come back in a few other places, and it's really bad medicine that most of
Carl, we're losing you on the cell phone here. Are you there, Carl?
Today, thanks for having him.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, we just caught Carl. Again, he was in mid-sentence there. But a wife dealing with stage 4 cancer, went away, but coming back in other places. Certainly those who are struggling through cancer know what suffering is as well.
Well, we just got a call last night that my wife's brother, Kansas City, was just going into hospice. His second round with cancer, and we're dealing with that right now. But so many friends we've lost. But now when it's a brother, it's realism.
Mm-hmm.
If he said, I'm ready, I'm ready to go. And he seems to be settled with that, but we just got that phone call last night.
Yeah. Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break so we don't interrupt the next caller, and then we'll take more of your calls here just on the other side, so stay with us. Crosstalk on VCY America, God's Purpose for Suffering is our topic. And perhaps you want to share a link of this program or obtain a CD so that you can share it with others that are going through times of challenge in their lives. You can do that as well by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Back with more of your calls after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The Canadian government is reporting that many of the militaries of the westernized world, which includes the United States and NATO, just held a big conference. And you know what their topic was? Cognitive warfare. Developing tools to counter cognitive warfare. The military with NATO is working on trying to find ways to control how you think, what you believe, and your behavior. It almost sounds completely sci-fi, but indeed, they are trying to find ways to control what you think, and how you act. Now, they're doing all of this under the guise of national security, claiming that they're concerned about American citizens that are becoming tools of China and Russia. Well, if they're worried about that, they should look at their own governments and military. This is really nothing more than the battle for the mind using transhumanism.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Les Olala is our guest. God's Purpose for Suffering, our topic. We're going right back to the phone lines, calling from Canada. We have Anne calling in. Hi, Anne, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just curious, what is the best prayer to pray for someone who has a drug addiction?
Well, I think, number one, we need to pray for that person to be encircled with people who would manifest a godly love to that person, because what they do is that they have found their security in something that is very temporary and very hurtful. And I think to pray that their eyes would be opened, the Holy Spirit of God would bring a conviction, and the Word of God would become the empowerment through the Holy Spirit in the life to make that change. Because there's an emptiness, obviously, that whatever the cause of that addiction was, it might have been pain pills, or it might have been deep depression, or it might have been an entrapment early on. But praying that the Spirit of God would bring a deep conviction and that the Word of God would have power in that life.
That makes sense, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Let's go to Justin in Middleton. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. And I just wanted to say that I really appreciate this program. It speaks to me. I've been going through a hard time. I lost two close loved ones this month. But I just wanted to share, music helps me get through really hard times in addition to scripture. And so I just wanted to share a quick lyric from the old African spirit. And it just says, there is a balm in Gilead that to heal the wounded soul, there is a balm in Gilead to make this wounded whole. And so I just want to share those quick lyrics and hopefully they're encouragement to somebody.
Amen. God bless you, Justin. Thank you for the call. And Dr. Olala, one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha.
Yes, the one who heals, right. The God who heals. And that balm in Gilead is a biblical term.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the working of God. And we're not going to get through life without suffering in some way. But thank the Lord, there is a balm in Gilead.
Amen. Amen. And music is something we saw. David, how he played his harp.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, when Saul was so troubled,
right.
He played and the whole heart was settled.
Yeah. We have Scott calling in from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling to maybe get some advice as far as when God is silent. You've been going through chronic pain.
Going through chronic pain, and it seems as if God is silent. Dr. Olala.
Yeah, we have to learn the silence of God is not the absence of God. And that is a powerful lesson to learn, that God is there. And when you know pain, we don't know pain like he knew pain. And when the pain becomes so unbearable, and it seems like God is silent, but yet God is there to provide grace. And it is it's a battle to come to that point of surrender, to say, Lord, thank you for trusting me with this. Now I pray for grace that there would be easement of that suffering.
The Apostle Paul kind of faced that, did he not, when he prayed three times, that the thorn in the flesh would be removed from him? It perhaps seemed as if God was silent, was not answering the prayer. But God's response is, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is, and I think Paul prayed not just adding that to his dinner prayer.
Right.
I think he went aside three different times in very specific crying out to God, believing that if that would leave him, he would be more effective. God knew just the opposite.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these things come to make us totally dependent. And anything that makes me dependent is good for me.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Let's go to Robert next. Robert, you're on the air.
Well, first of all, thank you both. Brother Les, I heard from another brother, Dr. Randy Melcher, your testimony, and I was just so humbled by it. And I'm blessed today to hear your voice again. What my comment is for some reason, in my 45 years being born again, I've not really heard a whole lot of teaching on Romans 8:17. Well, I guess it would be 16, 17, and 18 altogether, you know, because it goes together. And the main thing that's not being taught is the center clause of verse 17, and it says, if so be that we suffer with him, that conditional clause,
mm-hmm.
you know? And fortunately, at least I think about 37 years ago, as I was studying to show myself approved unto him, I came across that clause. I started, you know, really meditating on it and applying it, hopefully, to my life, in which it's got me through a lot of suffering, and it's getting me through another point of suffering. And I do praise the Lord for it. I want to say that publicly. I praise the Lord for the suffering, because I know, as you just spoke, his suffering began actually before the foundations of the world, when he said, I'll go down there and I'll take care of this for them.
Yeah. And that phrase also ends with that we may also be glorified together. That verse 17 phrase that says, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And the two travel partners, glory and suffering, are the two travel partners that you see throughout Paul's writings.
Thank you so much for the call. We're going to try and squeeze Kevin and Eau Claire. You're on the air.
Hello. I can relate something to the speaker here, is because it was about 2 years ago this year, 2 years ago, that I suffered a back injury. And so I was living alone, and I couldn't, and nobody was to help me. And so here I am. I was laying on my bed, and I asked God, would you please help me do this? And sure enough, he helped me through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the power of prayer does
Amen.
Work.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. And that's part of it. Your outline here, too, is prayer to supply the believer with power to overcome through prayer. Dr. Olila, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, what a blessing to be here. I hope this is helpful. We could spend a week on each of these points, but thank the Lord for the ability to share.
Dr. Les Olila with us here today. His website, bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. A phone number to reach his ministry and himself is 906-396-2263. That's 906-396-2263. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.